Let us pray. God of faithful love, all of life is your wedding feast, celebrating your covenant with us. We want to be part of your joy. Proclaim your love to us again in word and in silence. Declare your faithfulness. We will be present for you and listen in trust and enter into your joy. Let our whole lives be your praise. Amen. An Old Testament reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to the people, "Revere God and serve Yahweh in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. Now, if you are unwilling to serve God, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other gods, for it is Yahweh our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore, we also will serve the Holy One, for Yahweh is our God." Joshua said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to Yahweh, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "Yahweh our God we will serve, and God we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. The word of life. A reading from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means. They begged me earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. It was more than I expected. They gave themselves first to Christ and, by the will of God, also to us. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in generosity. For you know the generous act of our head, Jesus Christ, who though rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that by Christ's poverty you might become rich. If you are eager to give, your gift is acceptable. What matters is what you have, not what you don't have. I do not mean that your relief for others should cause hardship to you, but it is the question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, since their abundance is also for your need. There's always that balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God. As you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 25th chapter, in words that are almost exactly Matthew's, but not quite. Jesus said, "Let's think about the realm of God. Once upon a time, there was a wedding. After the ceremony, the couple went off to get their pictures taken, and it took forever. The guests went to the reception hall and waited for them. All day into the night, they got drowsy. They started to fall asleep. Now, half of the guests who had come were wise, and they brought enough oil for their lamps. Half of the guests were foolish and didn't bring enough oil. Long about midnight, Somebody got a text and says, oh, they're coming. And they all woke up and they lit their lamps. And then the ones without oil asked the others, ooh, give us some of your oil. We're running out. And the other one said, no, we don't have enough for you. Wouldn't be enough for both of us. Go get your own. So right when the bride and groom were coming, the ones without oil took off for a 24-hour pharmacy to find oil. The bride and groom came, the others were happy, and they all went in to the banquet together, and they closed the door. Boom. A little while later, the others came back, and the door was locked, and they said, hey, we're back! Open the door! And there was a voice inside that said, I don't even know who you are. So, stay awake, because you know neither the day nor the hour. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing about parables is that you can look at them from lots of different angles. One of the angles that the church has historically looked at this parable through is that it's a story about the second coming. And the moral of the story is, be prepared. That's not real convincing to me, partly because I can't imagine why Jesus would tell people to be prepared for something that wasn't going to happen for 2,000 years. And also, he didn't actually say be prepared. What he said was be awake. And the interesting thing is that everybody in that story, both the wise and the foolish, fell asleep. So it's probably more about paying attention than it is about something that's going to happen in the future. Paying attention now. Unless we think that maybe the second coming isn't just this thing where Jesus comes in the clouds later on. Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Because the way Jesus comes is in one another. Jesus is going to come into your life in the form of all the people that you meet. So now, that makes a lot of sense. Be prepared for the coming of Christ, because it could happen at any moment. Another angle to come at this parable from is that it's coming from Matthew. And Matthew wrote his gospel 50 years after Jesus died. Now, we're sort of used to the idea that Jesus hasn't come and isn't going to come anytime soon. But way back then, that was a little new to them. They thought he was going to come any minute. And after a couple generations, they were starting to get a little worried. So Matthew's story about this wedding party that's enormously delayed is a story about be patient, persevere. This is going to be a long haul. That strikes me as a little more spiritually to the point. That this is going to be hard work. We've got some work to do, and it's not just a flash in the pan. It's a long journey. Get enough oil for this. You're going to need perseverance for the long haul. Like in that song that the choir was singing. You want to hang in there till it's all done. Here's another way to look at the parable. Let's take off this religious apparatus that we've attached to it that says this is about the second coming and set that aside. What if it's just a story about a wedding? If it's just a story, what strikes me is it's a story about a lot of people being really selfish. When half the people realize that they don't have enough oil, they ask the other ones, give us some of your oil. And they say, no, they won't share. That's pretty selfish. Now, we've fallen into this trap that Jesus sets for us by calling some of them wise and some foolish. And we buy into it and we go, oh, so we have to learn from the wise people. You know what? They were foolish. Because they didn't have enough oil either. They said, no, if we share, then there won't be enough oil. They were not prepared to share, were they? That's pretty foolish. Pretty selfish. The ones who were labeled foolish do this odd thing. Their purpose is to meet the bride and groom. That's why they're there. And yet, when the bride and groom are walking up the driveway, They get so obsessed with their lamps that they go out the back door and head for the nearest place where they can buy oil for their stupid little lamps, and they neglect the people that they were supposed to be there for. They're not there for their friends. They freaked out. And of course, the bridal party are maybe the worst of all. It's pretty selfish to make people wait an entire half a day. It's midnight till the party starts. That's pretty selfish. But even worse, when the people show up, they say, "No, you're too late." What? They make them wait 12 hours and then these guys are 24 minutes late and they say, "You're too late?" But here's what's even worse. They don't actually say, "You're too late." What the bridegroom says is, "I don't know you. You are no one to me." That's an entire relationship that's been cut off. That's supremely selfish. Sometimes Jesus tells us a story about what not to do and lets us figure it out. Obviously, the reign of God is not like all of these people being selfish. People refusing to share. People failing to be there for each other. People unwilling to forgive and accept one another. Jesus lets us figure it out. I bet when you were listening to that story, there was some moment, maybe you were conscious of it, maybe it was unconscious, that you were uncomfortable. That's the little moment when you were thinking, "Ooh, that's nasty." That is the realm of God that Jesus was talking about. It's not in the moral of the story. It's in you. When you see what could be different, what God wants. Because you know that Jesus, above all else, wants to create a community where we are really there for one another. So he tells a story in which they're not, and we notice that. If there's any reason that the church is shrinking in America these days, I think it's because churches are so obsessed with their lamps that we're not there for other people. We're so busy fussing about our own buildings and our own budgets and our own programs that we never look up and look out and go across the street and meet the people out there who need our light. We're too busy with our lamps. When you join the United Methodist Church, you make 5 promises. Pastor asks you if you will be loyal to the church and participate in its life and ministry with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. The big 5. Today, we're going to bring forward our pledge cards. And on those pledge cards, there are 3 of those promises that you can make. It's an invitation to at least think about 3 of those. One is your gifts. Your financial pledge is a way of saying, "You know, I'm not just going to give willy-nilly when I feel like it or to the things I like. I'm giving to you. I will be here for you. There's my commitment." You can plan a budget on that. The second one is worship attendance, your presence. Literally promising to be here for one another. We come to church for all sorts of reasons. We come to get our batteries recharged. We come to hear our favorite music. We come to see friends. We come to deepen our relationship with God. We come to get hope and encouragement in a world that sometimes is discouraging and difficult. We come from all sorts of different ways. But one of the ways that Jesus is inviting us to come to church is not for anything that you get out of it at all. It doesn't matter what you get out of it. You're not here for yourself. You're here to be there for one another. And I hear stories about what it was like when some of you were here in a particular need, a particular mood, a particular state, and there was somebody who was there for you. And sometimes it's because they greeted you at coffee hour and said, "How are you doing?" Sometimes it's simply because they sat down next to you and you felt like you weren't all alone. It makes a difference. That commitment is a way of saying, "I will be there for you, Sunday after Sunday. You can count on me." The third one that's on that card is service. Nothing at St. Matthew's happens because it just drops out of the sky. Somebody spent time and energy making it happen. The worship service, the music, somebody makes that happen. The programs, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, the ministries that we do out there with the seafarers or the food banks, somebody makes that happen. Last night, there was somebody here late at night setting up coffee. It's not because they want 24 cups of coffee. It's because they were being there for you. They're ready for you. Somebody set up some ice cream out there for you. Every single thing is like that. And that third thing on that pledge card is a way of saying to the church, I'll be here for you. That's the kind of community we want. You're doing a festival of sharing? I'll be there for you. What do you need? We have children? We probably want a Sunday school. Okay, I'll be there. What do you need? It's a way of pledging our willingness to be there for one another. There's some things that I really like about this tapestry. It's kind of cool. One of the things I like is the tree of life. It's sort of umbrella, kind of reaches out, includes everything. There's this sense of vitality and growth. I love how the leaves of the tree become the flames that the wedding attendants are holding in their hands. And I love this, that they don't have lamps. They just have light. There's no hardware. It's just who they are. There's a peculiar thing about this tapestry, and I don't know how intentional it was. The five foolish women over here look pretty distraught. They do not look happy. They look like they're aware that they're in some kind of bad state. I don't know how much the artist intended this, but the people who are supposed to be the wise women, they don't look much happier. It's sort of like 10 depressed ladies up here. What's with that? They look interested. They look like they're really focused on this light that they've been given. But they don't look like they're celebrating. They don't look like they're happy. They don't look like they're at a wedding. I think it's because clearly they are still in the middle of the story. These women still have not figured out that the reason they're there is to share. They're still just obsessed with their own flame. My favorite part of this tapestry, my favorite person in this picture, is the one who's almost not in it. There's five foolish women over there and five wise women over here, and then there's one more who's almost not in it at all, except for one little bit of their hand. Reaching in. That's my favorite person in this tapestry. Because you know what's going to happen? Somebody, one of these five, is going to notice. It looks like there's that one that's begun to notice. Somebody else needs my light. She's about to discover the joy of being there for somebody else. The real joy of sharing. And the minute she gets that, all 11 of them will have light. And there will be the reign of God. That's what we come here to do. Now you might be one of those people who've walked in the door because you're that 11th person. You need the light. You don't have any light. Maybe you're in a hurting place. Maybe you're facing life challenges that are just this close to knocking you over. Maybe you're burdened by the weight of worrying about health or somebody that you love or job security or finances. Maybe you're worried about global climate change or immigration or President Trump or World War III or tweets or whatever. Maybe you're just in a place where you're not sure God loves you. You're one of those people. Boy, are you ever in the right place. Because it takes all 11 of us. In fact, only when that 11th person sticks their hand out and says, I need light, will light finally fill the room, and finally all 11 of them can look happy and discover the reign of God, can create a church who's really there for each other and ready to be there for all those folks out there who are hurting. That whole world that sometimes is only just barely in our picture. But we can see them reaching, asking. And we're going to say yes. And that light will fill the world. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the one who is here for us. For Jesus, who will share the oil in his lamp until he has no more. Who will give us his light until his goes out. Who will be there for us and accept us, no matter how little oil we have in our lamps. For that love, we thank you. And we pray that it might fill us, that we too might really be there for one another and for all the world. God, for your faithful love, love that you have pledged to us like a wedding vow, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to be there for you too, to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.